All right, hello everyone. It's John and Amy here with End of Effort. And we are going to talk about a huge subject today that it hits everybody. And everybody has this emotion called anger inside of them for a reason. So we're going to actually give some insight about our own lives, but just flow with this and talk about the purpose of anger, because there is a purpose for it, and how to manage it. So we've seen recently in the news with protesting and violence and rage and anger, and that's happening for a reason. It's like everything's on steroids when you look at the anger aspect or the rage or violence. And there's a collective thing going on, but there's also individual expression. And from a high level view, when you look at it as a global sense, something is emerging and it's causing a stir of emotions to happen. And what is that that's emerging? Well, it's consciousness. Pure consciousness is the Christ consciousness that's flooding the earth. The glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. What is the glory? It's His love. So when love is flooding every sense of the word inside of us, then something is going to get stirred up, because we're asleep in part of our lives, meaning that we're unconsciously walking about our day and living our lives in survival mentality. And when pure love, pure consciousness starts rising inside of humanity, then it has to do something with that emotion. In other words, that emotion has to go somewhere. And so it comes flying out in different ways. So that's the global sense, right? So we're seeing that in protesting and all the violence and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a shaking.
There's a shaking going on. In other words,
for the new to emerge.
Yeah, for Bible language, it's the earth is groaning for the manifestation of love to come through sons and daughters. And so when we're looking at it from a global standpoint, now dial it down to your own life.
There's layers of fear that have been built up, you know, because perfect love's casting out fear. And so God is stirring things up, allowing situations in your life, circumstances to get that fallow dirt, to get this stuff to break up, so you can actually start, so the love can emerge. The real you, the God-ordained blueprint from heaven, is trying to emerge. It's like, what was it, James that said, think it not strange when these things happen to you, you know, the tests and trials of your faith, you know, because it's emerging. And, you know, a lot of times we can shame ourselves and beat ourselves up because of the things that are erupting in us. And if we know what's going on behind the scenes and we can actually heed the call of action, because that's what a lot of times anger is, it's a call to action. And find out, okay, where can I align? You know, what this is giving me clues of to where a trigger is. And so if you can see it as a possibility and not a problem, your whole perspective will change on it. And now we all know that can be challenging to do, because we're actually feeling the emotion. We're feeling the frustration. A lot of times we're feeling blocked in, you know, we're feeling hopeless in a situation. And a lot of times God is trying to get us to partner with Him in this. And what's breaking off is our old egoic way of doing things, of figuring things out in our logic. And you'll just keep looping and looping and looping that story over and over and over. It's the hamster wheel of the mind. And that's why you wear yourself out. We have to get off this hamster wheel, because we only see in part. And so we're limiting ourselves when God is saying, no, come partner with me and I'll reveal it to you. And so we're brought to this choice, and we can keep doing it in our own strength, keep doubling our own efforts, you know, searching outside of God, but we'll get back right on that hamster wheel and wear ourselves out, as I'm sure you've been experiencing.
Oh man, we know that's true. I know in my own life, you know, it has been a process. It really has, because, you know, every one of us has a story, and we all have unique journeys that we walk on. But she's right. There's this unconscious blind spot in a lot of us, and the only way for that to really be unveiled is to first of all come to the realization of a place called done. And when you come to that place called done inside of you, then you're going to actually let go of something in order to see the hidden.
Surrender
to see the hidden. And what do we mean by that is that the more you still yourself, the more we meditate, the more we soak before the Lord. And that can be a half hour, an hour, or longer. The longer we go, the more we shut our intellect down of the scream of going in 100 different directions and 100 miles an hour, the more we discipline ourselves to sit before Him. Mm-hmm. Then what's going to happen is the noise of the mind will dissipate, and then He'll start unveiling things in the consciousness level of the mind of Christ in us. And what happens is when He pulls up those imagery things that bump up against His mind, the war, right? It's the flesh and the spirit in Galatians 5.
Yeah, the I want.
The I wants and I have to have it now kind of thing, but also the traumas. Also the abuse and things that we just weren't conscious of, and we shut down and we suppressed those things in our youth and we've forgotten about them. So what does meditation do? What does sitting before Him do? It causes Him now, His strength and His power, to come in and pull it up in front of us, to see it, and then we go, wow, look at that. I either forgot about it or I just didn't know about it. So once that happens, then He's the one that removes it from our life with ease and an effortless flow. He just takes it. He wants you to see it so that He can love on it the boy or the young girl that had that trauma. Love on the young boy or girl so that you can become whole in that moment by seeing it.
Yeah.
And so there goes some more anger. It begins to dissipate from the rage. Then it goes down to the anger that's manageable, right? Because anger is a gift. It really is, because it causes us to see something, an injustice. If we didn't have anger, then we'd be like, you know what? Every case sera, you know, no big deal. Oh, yeah, that tragedy over there. Well, I'm not angry about it. No, it's an emotion that was given to us, to a
protection.
Call to action, like Amy said. So the intellect, let's talk about that for a minute. The intellect, the analytical part of our minds, the right versus wrong. That's what the intellect, that's what the mind does, is it says, I've got to figure this out, and there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
And that is the world of chaos and confusion and frustration and energy-draining substance.
Yeah, it'll never be enough.
It'll never be enough.
You'll get it right today, and then your mind will go, well, what about tomorrow? What if I don't get it right tomorrow? What if I don't get it right the next day? How do I maintain this? And so it's never enough. Never enough. And so again, on the hamster wheel, there's the illusion of movement, right? On the hamster wheel, but you're going nowhere.
Yeah. Reminds me when you said it, the greatest showman, never enough.
Yeah.
That was all about ego going after the show.
Yeah. So God is trying to get us to drop down into our heart. And at some point in our lives, we felt it was unsafe to trust our heart, and so we bumped up into the mind of reason and logic and analytical, you know, because we didn't want to feel anymore. We shut our emotions down because we didn't want to experience pain, and that is what the logic's all about. It's constantly trying to avoid pain.
Yep.
And God is trying to get you back in touch with pain, because pain is a good thing. It's where you find growth, and it's also where the truth is known. Again, it's a call to action. Why am I experiencing this pain? Well, it's because there's a sliver in there that doesn't need to be there. I just had a glimpse. So is it Doctor Strange where he had to go in? There was one movie. It was either Doctor Strange or something like that where he had to go in and remove this bullet out of this guy's head that was so close to the point
Doctor
of...
Strange.
The guy would have gone completely paralyzed unless he had gone in there and been able to pull that bullet out. And see, and for the longest time, the guy couldn't figure out what was this thing in his head, you know? And come to find out, it was a bullet, right? And isn't that like the woundings in our life? We have these bullets lodged within yeah. us, and they're so close to causing us to be paralyzed. And some of them have reached that point, paralyzing our emotions, paralyzing our capacity to have empathy or things like that. And God is saying, please just come in, lay yourself down, like John was saying with the meditation. I'll do the work. We have to remember who the great physician is. It's not us. He's the physician. Our part is just to come before him, and he'll do the work. Open your heart so he can come in there and remove the bullets.
Yeah, that's so good. Such a good analogy. And if you think about it this way, it is so simple that we miss it, and our intellect slash ego wants to go and get, have a method or a formula mm-hmm. to counsel this thing out of us, right? We want to go to a psychotherapist or counselor. And oftentimes that's, you know, if that's what God leads you to a counselor, then fine. But you know what a counselor is there for? Is to sit and listen to the pain that comes out. And then most of the time, that's what's needed in this anger expression, is it's getting pain out.
Yeah.
And we think there's something horribly wrong with us, and so we need to go get some demon, you know, cast out, or you know, get a hundred therapy sessions. And again, if there's some of that counseling stuff that God leads you to, fine. But we have found that the more we present ourselves to the great physician, like mm-hmm. Amy said, then he's the one that can do it in record time.
Yes, and he knows exactly where to go.
Yeah.
He's skilled precision. And here's the thing, you know, the Lord told me once, because, you know, we're so taught in religion, all these formulas, all these things we need to figure out how to do to get close to God, and or how to get right, before we, you know, ascend with the Lord. And so we're trying to confess all these things and get all these things right, or we feel so guilty that we don't go spend time with him. So then we're pulling an Adam and avoiding God in the garden, right? But the Lord said, look, again, just show up. I'm the all-consuming fire. I am, my fiery love will do the work, just like it takes fire, you know, to cleanse and purify yeah. an infection. And so again, if you will do your part, just put on some soaking music, and lay before him and open your heart and just start receiving his presence. And it'll come in such a gentle way, and it will build and build and build. But just let him, let his flame do the work of cleansing, purifying, removing things out of you. And like John said, he'll bring things to mind that you need to say, yeah, Lord, what about that? What do I need to know about this issue that's coming up in my heart right now? Or what are the triggers? Don't be afraid to ask God the questions. He's waiting for you to engage with him, and just be real. Just be real with him.
Yeah. And like we said, and we're going to continue to say this because people forget, we all forget, is your mind will go crazy. Mm-hmm. Your mind will think of 100 things you've got to do
right.
the
do,
moment
do, do.
You go and sit before him yeah. or lay before him. And your mind will go nuts. The key is to just keep sitting there and surrendering. Eventually, it will dissipate. The spirit will begin to overtake
mm-hmm.
the moment. And then the beauty starts happening. This is where answers and revealings and uncoverings start happening to show us right in front of our eyes in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God is showing you. It's kind of like when the dentist takes out the tooth and you're still under the anesthetic or whatever it mm-hmm. is, the I forget yeah. what it's called, the drug, and you're kind of blurry, right? But he shows you the tooth that he extracted, and there it is. That you couldn't see the roots of that thing. All you could see was the top of it. But what's hidden underneath are these long roots. And the dentist brings it up and shows you. That's what happens in the spirit when you soak before him. He starts showing you things in the spirit that need to come out. So the intellect, this is interesting, because when we're in the playground of the intellect, doing the tennis match or the back and forth with the ping pong ball of right versus wrong, right versus wrong. Well, if I take this direction, this has this consequence. If I go to the left, then the right has things left lingering, and vice versa. And all these things that we do in our minds to try to figure things out, that is called unconscious egoic living. The ego always wants to figure stuff out.
It's independence.
Yeah, aside from God. You know the saying, EGO, edging God out. What we do is we edge consciousness out. We can be eco people, eco friendly, or we can be eco unfriendly. So what we want to do is be eco friendly in the fact that, wait a minute, I want to have an excellent conscious ability, an excellent conscious operating system, eco. So what? How do I do that? It's 18 inches. Move from the head to the heart. And it's so easy, we miss it. Moving from the head to the heart is, when I'm living from a place of surrender out of my heart, then it's what is true over what is right versus wrong. Because there can be a whole lot of gray in that chaos of right versus wrong.
Yeah, but there never is when you are, you're following your intuition, your spirit, your heart. Just ask your heart. You always, your heart will always tell you what is ringing true to you. What is the right move? What is the right decision? And how you can tell is pay attention to your body. Is say it out loud. This is...
Which we can do a little bit of an exercise when we're done here. This exercise is amazing, guys. It's simple, but it'll help.
Yeah. Yeah, and so again, you'll see in your body language, when you ask your heart, what's right for me? What's true for me? What am I really longing for? What's the answer really? And your body will relax. Your energy will actually start coming back. You'll see a slight smile on your face. Your eyes will light up. And, you know, God gave us these feelings in our bodies for a reason. You know, we've got this inner compass of the Holy Spirit and our intuition, and God just didn't leave us here on earth without, you know, a guidance system. You know, oftentimes we think we do, and we just keep going through life playing the guessing game, and that is not what God designed. And a lot of people think it is, and so then they just assume God is just such a harsh God because he's just left us down here, abandoned us, and we got to figure it out.
Yeah, and here's a biblical definition of this. What did Jesus say before he ascended? He goes, I will leave you a helper, the helper, your counselor, your teacher, your guide. He will lead you and guide you into what? Heart conscious living. That's what's true. Living out of the heart is what's true. And if you think about the fruit of the Spirit, everything in all nine fruit are true elements of the expression of living out of heart consciousness. So the difference is this. Jesus was always saying to the Pharisee, you load people up with heavy burdens that they cannot bear. What is that? That's intellect. That's law-driven mentality, right versus wrong.
Yep.
But he says, I say unto you, he was always saying the opposite of heart living, heart-centered
That's
living.
Right.
Right? So Jesus is a full expression of love. And what he was saying in that moment and always challenging his disciples with was, guys, listen, there's two ways to live. You can live out of your head, or you can live out of your heart by faith. Out of your head by survival, or your heart by faith. And heart-centered living will always be the compass of this extraordinary supernatural life that God has led us all into. But the problem is that we let our past dictate to us, and the traumas of the past, or the fear of never having enough, and then reaching into a future because we don't know how to live in the moment in heart consciousness. And that it's all a discipline to say, wait a minute, more stuff happens in the now than could ever happen in the past or the future, because the past has already been played out and the future isn't here yet, so you can only guess.
Yeah.
Right? But in the moment is where full life lives in the truth of heart-centered living.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just practice. It's just practice to being aware with that and resting in it. But here's the thing is, you know, there's an exchange of oxygen going on. So when you're soaking, like we were talking about earlier, and you feel this trembling and like, oh, you know, everything is pulling at you, like this isn't working, this doesn't make sense, you know, go back, return back to the old habit. See, because what you're doing is you're breaking an unconscious habit. You're breaking a default that has been your crutch. And so now you go into the chamber, the resting place with the Lord, and you've got to allow time for the different kind of oxygens to change out. And so the oxygen of the ego is getting thinner and thinner and thinner the longer you stay, and the oxygen of the spirit is increasing, increasing, increasing. And so it's learning to breathe that in, and you have to take time. It's the same with a plane. It doesn't take off until it starts acclimating the unseen atmosphere, right? And so that you can breathe at higher elevations. And that's what God is so wanting to do. So.
Yeah, that's so good. And when you think about anger, you know, when you think about an explosive anger, so what is that? Well, if you look plainly in Galatians 5, 16 through 23, it talks about the works of the flesh being an outburst of wrath. Okay, that's rage. Mm-hmm. So what is that directly tied to? It's tied to trying to figure something out in your own strength slash flesh slash ego. They're all one and the same. Where when we feel like we've been abandoned, and we have this narrative playing in our minds unconsciously or subconsciously that we aren't even aware of, we just feel abandoned, but yet we know it intellectually that we're not through the Bible, right? Or just our training through Christian land. There's a difference between having that heart centered and then just believing it in your head. So that's why we move from the head to the heart, so that we can understand, oh, wait a minute here. God has done this, not my own strength. So let's bring it real. Let's bring it home and let's bring it real. Say somebody provokes you and you just snap because you were on edge and you didn't even know why. Some of you are sitting out there listening. You don't even know why you're on edge. There's always this foreboding thing going on. Or you're always tense and feel like you're on pins and needles and you're ready to just snap anyways. And you don't know why that is. And you've been to the counselors, you know, you've been to Sozo, you've been to all these things. And although they were a fraction of what you needed, it wasn't the pulling out of that splinter. It was a,
or that bullet.
It was a clipping off of the top of it. It wasn't a digging out to the root. So what has to happen? Well, you go to the great physician and wait upon him, and it may take some time. It may happen instantly or of a progression of time, but the more you lay before him and sit before him in the hyperbolic chamber of oxygen that Amy was talking about, in that oxygen chamber to get the pure oxygen of the spirit, then guess what? You come out, and everybody knows that dis-ease cannot live in pure oxygen.
That's right.
You starve it out by purity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can have that is by sitting before the pure oxygen of the spirit. It's not like you can work it up or gain it through some kind of formula getting, right, or creating. So somebody goes off or somebody pushes you and you snap, okay? What were we talking about earlier about the blood rushing out of the brain?
For men.
Yeah, so he just kind of tapped against somebody. Oh. Somebody bumped up against our car. We're recording in the car. Anyway, so perfect timing right there. So the blood rushes out of the brain in a man, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a man. And this is why, say when we're talking about for relationships, example of a guy and a girl, and she wants connection. She's trying to get resolve, and the man is saying, "I'm getting angrier and angrier and angrier." They can't cognitively come up with a solution in the moment because they've scientifically proven that the blood flow leaves the brain because it has to go into other organs for a fight. And that's why it's best to just let them cool down, say, you know what, let's not talk about this right now, I need a break. That's the best thing for a woman to do, instead of wanting to get resolve in the moment. And I know it's super hard for us women. We want to resolve. And so we end up, you know, trying to get them to talk. And they can't. They want to, but they can't, because there's nothing. The blood is not up there to function the brain, to communicate right, to find the solution. So you've got to give them a break so they can cool down, so the blood can actually get back up in there. And you can talk more reasonably. It's just, I don't know, it's just how God kind of designed them And so we just have to learn, right? Without understanding, abuse is inevitable. So we have to get understanding on both sides of how a man thinks and how a woman thinks. And the reason why we have all this miscommunication is because we just don't understand fully how each other's wired, so we can come alongside and be that support and get a way better outcome.
Yeah, and think about this, man. You know all too well what it means when the blood rushes out of the head. You become limp and impotent. Okay? Sexually speaking and and in functionality here.
In your brain.
Okay? So when the blood rushes out, you go into survival mentality. Fight, flight, and freeze.
Yep.
Things go limp. It means that you're not living out of the heart-centered consciousness. You're not living out of the heart flow of the fruit of the Spirit. That's obvious, right? But what's necessary for men, and I want to speak directly to the men here, is when that happens to you, it's so important that if you can't think straight, to remove yourself from that scene or that place as fast and as quickly as possible and with as few words as possible, because your words will penetrate, especially the wife, and then you'll have to be digging yourself out of a hole for a long time, and she'll be hurt by it. So as much as possible, this is where couples are going to have to communicate, like Amy said. The wife's going to have to understand it, a girlfriend, whatever, is going to have to understand that, okay, when this happens to him and he goes into this rage or goes into this anger issue,
you can see it starting to build.
Then I know that he's going to need to go and defuse for a little bit. Now, here's what I'll say to the men. When you go and defuse, do not let it take all night long and let it go hour after hour after hour. It's one thing if you just go cool off, you go to the gym.
Yeah, 20 minutes. They've even proven it. Yeah. It does not take men that long to defuse. It takes women longer than it does men, chemically.
But if it's a little bit longer than 15, 20 minutes, you know, you get it. Because some people have embedded issues that are a little bit stronger. So what we're saying here is, the shorter, the better, okay? Mm-hmm. But this is why the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Let's break that down. The Lord gave me some insight to that. What he's meaning is that when the sun goes down, it gets dark. Okay, spiritually speaking, an unconscious level starts happening here, is that you go dark in the unconscious realm into the ego. And it means you're not awake in righteousness. You're not awake in Christ consciousness flowing out of the fruit. So what he's saying is, don't ultimately let ego and unconsciousness take you out of the game of living out of the heart. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath, meaning that if you let it go overnight, then creepy crawlies have an open access to get in there and start messing with your life.
Yep, you're allowing darkness
and your wife.
That's right, because you're one. And so now it leaves her vulnerable and vice versa. If the wife goes to bed angry, unresolving it with the man, and he wants resolve, it's you both are one. So now you're leaving each other vulnerable. And so it's best to deal with it, you know, to really hear each other's heart. You guys got to be willing to do the work and to have the benefits. You can't plant a garden, you know, with no seeds. You have to invest in it, do the work, and you get the harvest.
Yeah, and what's coming up now is, you know, I just keep being reminded about there is a place where we need to communicate after it's been diffused. But then there's also a time when shame and all this stuff starts coming in, because you feel like a loser, you feel like you completely blew it. And I know, I've used to struggle with this a lot. I felt disqualified. I felt like, man, how in the world is God ever going to anoint me for service here, because I was always battling this with myself, you know? And I came to the realization that, wait a minute, it's an emotion that God gave me. And it just needs to grow and mature and develop here in the way that it's directed, the way that it's utilized. It's never to be used in violence towards another human being. It's meant to be used in service towards humanity for the good. Meaning that if you see child, you know, trafficking and all that, you should get angry about that. And then if God gives you a calling in it, then do something about it, right? Start taking steps.
Yeah, it's a call to action.
It's a call to action. So the shame and the guilt and all that stuff that happens when you explode, if you can just come to this point where, look, this is an illusion, this is a lie that says that I am disqualified, and this is going to take me out of the race, I'm shamed, all that is an illusion of the ego, that says I am going to keep you in shame whether you like it or not. That is the direct opposite of the voice of God.
Yeah.
The voice of the heart flow, the fruit of the Spirit. So here's what helps me. This is what helps me. It may help you or not, but if it's a nugget that does, then great. My gauge is the two. My gauge is the fruit of the Spirit, God's voice, versus ego's voice, unconsciousness's voice, the intellect's voice of the works of the flesh. You have one side or the other to choose to side with. And depending on what you do, depending on the level and to degree that you're stuck. So if you just believe the truth that, wait a minute, the nine fruit of the Spirit are 100% true of me living out of my spirit, living out of the consciousness realm of Christ, then, oh, okay, this is a lie. This is a lie. Yep. It's a full-blown lie. So you can recover faster.
Yes.
That's the whole idea. I heard a friend of mine say years ago, and I'm going to get a little personal because we're talking to couples and adults here, but he said he really struggled with masturbation and porn and all that stuff. And what helped him was this very thing. He said, wait a minute, I'm trapped in the guilt of this for days after I've done the deed, you know? I'm trapped for days, sometimes weeks. And he goes, it was killing me. It was tormenting. So what I did was I just started believing that, wait a minute, if the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God is always constant, and that's what I'm made of that substance, then what I'm going to do is pick up my Bible right after I'm done, and I'm going to, this is what he did, okay? He put it right on his chest and just absorbed it and just let it sink into him. And he said, I receive the reminder of who I am. I receive the reminder of who I am. I'm reminding myself of who I am, made of love. I am the love of God. I am the righteousness of God. He just kept quoting those kind of things over, and it would dissipate within 10, 15 minutes rather than 10, 15 days. So whatever you need to do, just know that God isn't sitting there beating you up over it.
Yeah. And another friend of ours we had shared about the same struggle. And he said how God said, invite me into the act. Invite me in with you. He was really struggling with pornography.
That's right. This is a good one, too.
And so the Lord said, look, son, just invite me in with you. He's like, how can I do that? How can you even look upon this stuff? And remember, Jesus sees everything. And so when he invited the Lord to come sit with him in the act, in the moment, he felt so much love and so much compassion and so much mercy and grace that the act and all of it died off.
Yep.
Because there was an exchange. He said the love he felt from God was far better and more intoxicating than he was experiencing in that moment. So there was an exchange. And he said it delivered him, totally delivered him.
Yeah.
And reframed his thoughts, right? See, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? And so that's a huge thing. What are we thinking about? What's the story we're telling ourselves in whatever struggle we're battling with? Anger, you know, whatever is misaligned with who we truly are. And that's just it. We're focused on an image of who we think we are that's really not who we are.
Yeah. That's so good. I had forgotten about that story too, because it's so true when you sit and think about it, that wait a minute, he's already in me anyways. So what I'm doing is I'm inviting him into the full blown awareness of consciousness that he is, and I'm making my spirit and my intellect conscious to what's going on combined with him. And that is 100% pure love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of our mistakes. And what does that cause us to do? It causes us to change our mind.
Yeah.
about that sin, you know,
and about him as well.
That's
because,
right.
You know, when you're in the act, you're thinking God is just shaking his head at you. He is so disappointed in you and all this kind of stuff, which is so not true, because God knows what's underneath it all. He knows the deficiency within you that you believe is there. He knows what the root is. It doesn't matter if it's pornography, alcohol, anger, whatever it is. There's something deeper in you that just feels like a deficiency, like something's missing. And so really, all those surface things are just coping mechanisms, and the Lord can see through that, and he's trying to bring the instead if you'll let him. And so
that's right.
You know, and another form of anger, a side note here, is a lot of times we can get angry and frustrated that we're not in the quote call, or we're not doing what we had expectations for of where we should be in our life at this point in our life. And so here's the thing, you know, all our days were written in God's book before we came, the book of life, right? Psalms 139. And so the things that you're sensing are supposed to be in your life, the things you see yourself doing in your future, they are on their way. They're just not here yet. But a lot of times we get frustrated and angry thinking we've missed it, we've messed it up, it's not going to come to us anymore, I need to go out and get it, I'm not working hard enough, yeah. I don't know enough. So again, all these deficiencies we're believing. But know that it's on its way. Again, you know, we know what we want, but we don't know what we need. And God is trying to get us our foundation strong enough to handle the weight of it, where it doesn't take us out, or we're not using our callings and destinies and gifts as another form of a mask and a fulfillment apart from him. Because guaranteed, look at all the things you wanted in your past that you got. Did they fully satisfy you? No, you're on to the next thing. And that's how your ego works. It's never satisfied.
Never.
And so God's trying to bring us all to the place where we can live with or without it. You know, we don't need it anymore. And that's when it comes, because your identity won't be wrapped in it anymore. You can take it or leave it. It's just, it's a bonus. But when our identity is still like, I'm not going to be happy until I have this, or I become this, or I'm this pro that, or this, you know, whatever, then what happens when we get it and it's all of a sudden taken from us? Get ready for another midlife crisis.
That's right?
Another identity crash. And so, you know, with the Lord, he is always focused on something deeper. We get so caught up on these surface things here on earth and who we want to become and being important, being significant, you know, making an impact, which is good. But God is after the eternal things that he's doing in us, you know?
Yeah, and when you think of such good stuff, it's when you think about, okay, eternal things that we're doing, that what we're really here to be and here to unveil
and to learn,
that is, and to learn, those are the elements of the eternal realm that we agreed to before the foundation of the world. We said yes, and we came into the earth through our mama's womb. But the unconsciousness, when we came out of the womb, the unconscious realm started taking hold, and we started forgetting
the illusion.
Then we came full steam into the illusion of life.
Mm-hmm. Programs.
And now we're in the process of awakening to see what we were really meant to be and do and learn. Mm-hmm. Really, it's a lot of unlearning the egoic nature of the reality of what we've already known.
Yeah.
So put it this way. The things, when it comes to calling or things you desire and you like, oftentimes, I would say 80 to 90% of the time, if I could put a percentage to it, those things are in a direct correlation or a direct result of egoic hurt, pain, wounding, and journey. Meaning that most of us walk through an unconscious journey through our lives, and we're waking up in moments and at time frames and in seasons to what we're really called to do. So have you ever heard of this? Have you ever heard of this, where somebody gets into a tragic accident and they find their real calling?
Yeah, they thought it was one thing.
They thought it was one thing, and maybe they even enjoyed it. Say they were a triathlete, for example. Nothing wrong with that, right? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a great thing. But then somebody hits them at 55 miles an hour. Yeah,
like Joe Dispenza.
Like Dr. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Little did he know.
Little did he know. It was the entry point of his eternal calling.
Yeah, his impact on the world. Major, major impact on the world. Way more than he could have ever done as a triathlon. And seems like our first ambitions we have in life are more self-centered and kind of things we want to do. And it just, you know, it makes very kind of little impact because it's more about, you know, he's just going to be a great triathlon. You know, that's his goal. And then tragedy happens. Now, it doesn't always have to happen this way, right? It depends on your awareness. If you're paying attention to the clues and yeah, that God is sending you. But now, because of what he had to walk through, it strengthened him to begin to discover how does the brain work? How can the body heal itself? And now, I mean, countless people are finding so much relief and understanding that came out of his tragedy that now became victory. You know?
Yeah, and he was, think about this, guys. I've often said this. We're one degree off from really living out the fullness of our calling, or at least seeing it, okay? He was already a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. So he was a chiropractor, but yet he loved triathlons.
And science.
So he loved those things. So he's almost there, right? Into the center, into the fullness of what he was sent here to do. And so, you know, who knows what was happening with his ego and how stubborn he was and how many chances, how many divine appointments has he had to kind of edge him towards it more. But yet we're either unconscious and we don't know, or we're hardening our hearts because we want to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. We want to go our own way. Case in point is the Apostle Paul. Here he thinks he's doing God a service by killing Christians. And wham! He has a moment of awakening that is unbelievably powerful.
And he was the best of the best of the best. Oh, yeah. Scholar-wise. So,
and here he goes.
Yeah.
Here he goes.
Here he goes
on the trip of a lifetime of unraveling.
And surrender,
but yet into the center of his calling.
And impact.
Yeah. So think about anger. I'm sure you have now by what we've said. If you see it differently, that's a good thing.
Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at
will change. Okay. So, we can always pick this up again, but let's do a little exercise before you leave. It's a simple exercise to help you get into heart-centeredness here, to help you live out of that truth of the heart. So, go ahead, dear.
So, we want you guys to think of something you're trying to, in your logic, right? You've been trying to figure out, should I do this or should I do that? Or some kind of issue that keeps coming up into your heart. How do I do this? You know, or whatever.
A desire.
Yeah, been wanting to do. Or a dream, but you feel stuck. Any kind of area you feel stuck in. So this is great to do with a partner. So your partner will ask you, or your friend can ask you, okay, so you tell them what your question is. And then the partner says, okay, so, and you're afraid... And you're afraid of.
Yeah. So you ask this over, and we're going to ask you right now. Mm-hmm. Can you think of that thing that you want to do? Okay. It could be anything. Think of that thing that you want to do. And what is the question?
And your fear is.
And what is your fear surrounding it?
So go ahead and think of that right now.
Yep.
I'll give you a second. Okay. And voice it out. It's so important that you voice it out.
Say it out loud.
Instead, because this pulls you out of your intellect, out of your logic. Otherwise, again, you're trying to figure it out in your head. When you speak it out loud, you pull your spirit that's being encapsulated in there, your dream or desires out of your head. You break it out of captivity and say it out of your mouth so you can actually hear. Faith comes by hearing. You need to hear yourself.
Yeah, and it drops it from your head to your heart, mm-hmm. the 18 inches. And then out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So we're getting...
you're actually clearing it out.
Yeah, you're clearing it out so that you can. Yeah, so that you can speak it out.
So your fear is da 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 da. Okay. Again, your fear is think of another thing. Da 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 da. And this could be like if you're wanting to start a new business, or you want to move somewhere, or
yeah, just keeping it simple. What business? Okay, let's just take for example, you're starting a business. Mm-hmm. Okay, some of your fears could be what surrounding that business
could be. Well, I fear I won't make enough money. And what is your fear? That I won't get enough clients. And what is your fear? That I don't have it in the right location. And what is your fear? So you can do it like 7 times. The more you do, the more you break it down to see, wow, okay, okay, okay. And then change it over to what does your heart say?
Yeah. Now, the fears, what you're doing again is clearing out the fears.
You're identifying it.
You're identifying, but you're clearing them out so that you can move from your intellect, the right versus wrong, that's trying to figure out how to do this thing that you want to do, right? Well, if I do this, it has consequences. Well, if I do this, and you're going back and forth trying to figure it out. Now, what it's going to do is by clearing it out, you drop down into the truth of your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, what is your heart saying after you clear those fears out?
Yep. What is your heart saying? What is your spirit saying? What is your intuition saying? What is your gut saying? It's all, these are all the things. But yeah. What is your heart? Because your heart, there's only one answer. And that's always going to be what's true to you. What is on your heart, what you know deep down inside. This is what I'm, here for. This is my yes. What is your yes internally?
And that's what happens is our intellect will reason it out before we have a chance. It will override your heart truth.
And you'll know it's the intellect because it'll always say, yeah, but.
Yeah.
Instead of yes. Your heart says yes. Your intellect says, yeah, but.
There you go. That's how you know the difference. So what do you do from there? Well, that's heart-centered living. That is living by your spirit, friends. That's living by your spirit. And that's where God is leading you and directing you. Now, here's where the intellect gets in the way again. This is a discipline. Mm-hmm. But then the intellect goes, well, yeah, but. I won't make any money doing that. Yeah, but I'll have to move halfway across the world and how will I ever see my friends? And the list will go on
back
and on
the
and
hamster
on.
Wheel you go.
There you go. Tormented.
And you know what the thing is with the hamster wheel is? It's your wheel of your own understanding. Because when you're operating out of your heart and spirit, you're leaving room for God to actually set the course, bring divine connections, divine opportunities. These are all things you will never be able to figure out. And that's the part of the adventure. You want an adventure, right? You know you're made for adventure. Well, that comes with being led by your spirit. The sons of God are led by their spirit, not their intellect. The intellect's the hamster wheel, my own understanding, which leads to how do I make this work? How do I get enough clients? How do I have enough income? You're using your own intellect. So there's no room for God on the hamster wheel. So you just keep looping, 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 and then you go numb.
Yeah.
Because you keep seeing the same story in the scenario, right?
Yeah, here's another example. Here's another analogy. The intellect is the white guy that can't dance and doesn't have any rhythm. It's rigid. It's funky. When people look at the guy, they go, oh, he doesn't have any rhythm. And then they look at the heart guy that's living out of the spirit, and he is flowing all over the dance floor with major rhythm. So if you look at it that way, you live out of your intellect, you're the white guy that can't dance. If you live out of your spirit,
you flow
all over that dance floor of life.
And God's not expecting you to have all the answers. You know, I just want to encourage you guys, relieve yourselves right now. All he wants is for you to take the next step. You don't need to know it all. This is an adventure. It's a surprise. It's the movie script, you know? What would be a movie if you knew the whole storyline and everything before you even watched it? It'd be boring.
It's boring, and you don't like it when people do that to you,
do they?
And
you probably wouldn't even watch it because you already know how it's going to end. There's no mystery and excitement and enthusiasm and all that kind of stuff. So with the Lord, all he's waiting for you is just to take the next step he's leading you in. Just ask him for the next step. And this is something I know for me, the Lord has been really teaching me how to flow with him all day long. You know, in religion, we are taught, go away with the Lord and put in your 30 minutes and that's it. Go, and then you just go about your business throughout the day doing your own thing. You know, it's just that formula mindset, right? And with the Lord, he's so relational. He wants you just to learn, get up each day. What's on your heart today, Lord? What do you want me to do with you today? You know, you're learning to flow step by step by step. So he tells you the first thing, and you do that with him together. Then, okay, so then you go into the next thing, and you flow like a relationship. You know, it doesn't have to be all predicted and thought out and into the routine of things, right? So... Yeah.
Yeah. So,
flow.
Well,
life is a lot more fun when you're in the flow, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a lot more to talk about here, but there is a purpose for anger.
Yes.
Friends, there is a purpose.
It's
and
a
you
call to change.
Call to change. Call to action. And when we drop the 18 inches and live from that place, heart living, then we have heart solutions.
Yes.
But there is no solution outside of the heart. Because you'll always be trying to figure it out, trying to come up with an answer, and that solution always eludes us. But when we go to the heart, then it's God-led, we have divine appointments, boom, we get answers out of that place.
Yeah, and just want to encourage you guys, when you do go away with the Lord, you know, in that quiet time, it's like a date, you know, come without an agenda. Just, the Lord knows already what you need. I mean, feel free, of course, to ask him questions. That's what he wants. It's a relationship. But don't have an agenda. Don't be in your mind trying to figure out even how to sit there and listen to God. And how do I do this? I'm not doing this right. How do I know if I'm even doing this right? So there you are. You're back on the wheel again. And just say, Lord, help. And I surrender. You know what I desire. You know my needs. Just have your way with me right now.
Yeah, and then detach from the outcome.
Yeah.
Because you'll never be able to figure it out.
No, enjoy the ride.
Enjoy it.
Let him surprise you.
That's exactly right. So we'll wrap it up there. Good stuff. Hope that helped.
Yes.
If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us, endofeffort@gmail.com. You can also comment here below the podcast. And really, just we'd love to have your feedback. Please comment and let us know that this has encouraged you. Because you know what? It encourages us to continue to make more.
Right.
So these are things that we've learned over a long period of time. We are still in process ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're still dropping down and living out of that heart place. You know, we're human just like you are.
We're practicing all the time. We've been married 20 years now, and we just continue because we want the good outcome, the fruitful life. And so we just keep practicing. It's like that recalculate or recalibrate, and you just get better and better and better at it. So don't give up. It's just a practice.
That's right. Okay. We love you.
We love you all. Thanks for listening.
Until next time, end your effort.
See you then.
Bye-bye.